I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things.
Spooky things.
And we really like.
We super love
self-care. For yourself.
For yourself. Sorry, I tried to go low. I think I should go high.
You know what? I wish. I'm going to take singing lessons, and I'm going to blow your guys' socks off. You guys are going to be like, oh, wow.
Oh, what? It'll be like
is that Kelly Clarkson? Opera? No, it's Kim.
We love that. Glasses will be shattering.
Yeah.
Because you'll go so high.
Because, like, rosé, too. Mm-hmm. So, what did you do this week for self-care?
So, this week for self-care, I bought myself. God, I feel like it's, like, always the same for me. It's, like, baths, yoga, and walks.
Okay, but, like, does it make you feel better?
It does.
Okay. Boom, boom. There you go.
I bought myself some new Dr. Teal's bath, like, Epsom salts.
Oh, I love Dr. Teal's.
It's, like, cheap and, like, good.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you get these bath bombs and you're like, what the fuck even is this? Like, I did one a couple weeks ago that was, like, orange. It was, like, a orange and something. I don't remember. But, like, the coloring of it was orange, and it, like, stained my bathtub, like, to the point where I had to clean it, like, three times.
Oh, that's irritating.
And it was like, dude, like, can you not?
I made Keith take it. He was, like, I don't know if he was sore, he wasn't feeling great, but I made him take, like, an Epsom salt bath.
And so good.
He was like, it's crazy, I feel better. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy what happens when you listen to Kim.
Weird.
Weird. So weird.
Yeah. So I got some new, like, I guess they're not flavors, but scents.
Flavors, scents.
One that I really like, the magnesium one. It smells really, like, fresh, but it's also, like, I like to take it before bath because the magnesium feels really good. And, mm-hmm. like, I sleep like a baby. And then I got another one that's new. It was, like, oat milk and, like, almond. I don't fucking know.
Something
it was,
like that.
Moisturizing or something.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And I'm excited to use it. So, and they're like $6 for like a bag, like a good size bag.
Well, that's how much they were at Five Below. So, like, yeah. Dr. Teal's is like Dr. kind Teal's of a bigger like, deal.
It's
so.
Legit. Like, that's my go to. Like, I don't need any like bath bombs with glitter. Like, I don't need the glitter. Like, it's fun, like, every once in a while, but like,
not every day.
And then you're like covered in glitter and you're like, ow, my. Getting this off.
I'm in my 30s.
I should not be wearing glitter. It's setting into my wrinkles.
It's just accentuating them.
It's
now fine. Everyone knows how tired I am all the time.
Seriously, like these bags, dude. Like, how do you fix this?
Sleep. Which, good luck.
You're like, it's simple.
As I'm stretching.
You could literally just sleep.
I didn't sleep last night, so yeah. That's why I'm sore and well.
Kim's still recovering from her food poisoning.
Don't eat We're at trying Burger to make, King.
Can't eat at the BK Lounge. Wow. And that is a millennial reference.
Dane Cook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do it, kids.
Don't do it.
Listen to your mom when she says, eat healthy things.
Oh my God. I was talking with like a lady at yoga the other day. And she was like, I asked her, I was like, oh, how do you feel or whatever? Like, I kind of, that's like my go-to question. Like when people leave, I'm like, how do you feel? Like,
you said that to me and I look at you, I'm like, I'm good. Do you want to talk to other people?
And she was like, I feel good, but like, she's like, I can definitely notice when I eat like good food versus like shitty food all week. She was like, I was like struggling.
Oh, it makes
because
a big
I ate
difference.
Shitty food all week. And I was like, dude, it's like as soon as you turn 30, Like, you're like, oh, yeah, people always tell you, like, eat some salads, and you're like, whatever. And then, like, when you turn 30, you eat a salad, and you're like, I feel energetic and good.
And then, like, weird chin hairs pop up in your 30s,
too. Dude, I had a weird forehead hair that was, like, it was, like, slightly above my eyebrow, and I was like, how long has this been there? It was, like, long.
Probably not even a week. They come quickly, so. Yeah.
Anyways, eating healthy.
Yeah. For the win.
What a concept. So don't eat BK Lounge.
Yeah, don't do that. But
anyways.
My self-care this week.
Tell us the self-care.
We went and saw the Hard Eyes Killer. What's that? In theaters.
It's a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's got the chick from Cruel Summer, the show. It's really good. I enjoyed it.
What is this movie about? I have no idea what movies are out.
It's fine. It was a Valentine's Day movie, and this killer likes to go after couples, and she and this guy are meeting for a business dinner, and they think they're a couple because she sees her boyfriend. She kisses him.
Wrongly targeted.
Yeah, so they're targeted all night.
Oh my God, did they get killed or no? They survived.
They survive. It's a really good movie.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it'll probably be on Paramount or Peacock or something soon.
Like currently in theaters? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We saw it the 13th, so.
Okay.
Fun times.
That's fun.
Yeah. Okay.
My aunt was texting me like, we should go see a matinee movie. And then she like sent me the list of movies and I was like, what the fuck even are these? Like, I don't know.
I know. None of us can come because I was like, if it's late night shit, it's not. I'm like, okay.
Well, because I think she has, like, rewards or something through, like, Regal Theaters. Yeah. And it's, like, Tuesday matinee because, like, no one's there.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't really go see movies during the day either. You know what I mean?
I don't see movies ever. Like, the last movie I saw, I think, was with her. And she was like, we could go see Lion King with Ronan. I was like,
no.
He doesn't really watch things. And I feel like that might be scary.
Well, and at three years old, they're still, like, talking. I could just see Ronan, like, being excited and, like, being, like, yelling at the TV, you know? So.
Yeah. I don't think he'd even care. He'd want to, like, crawl around the theater and, like, put his hands in all the sticky undersides of the seats. No. Like,
no. You don't bring the babies until they're, like, a little bit older. Yeah,
he's, like, one. Like, no.
Nothing.
He has no idea what's happening. Anyways.
What are you going to tell me about this week?
I am going to tell you about Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. Woo! Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you the classic Jack the Ripper. I don't know. Probably one of the first, like, true crime situations. Like, they didn't even know
100% they didn't have the term. Serial killers
were like a thing. Like,
they didn't know people were killing for funsies at that point. People were killing for necessity,
right?
Well, not really necessity, you know,
but like, yeah, they were like, you owe me money, I'll kill you, but like, not just for like creep ass let's mutilate your body situation.
Yeah. Oh, you are a sex worker, let me murder you for funsies.
Exactly. Okay, so I have a whole bunch of sources.
Yeah,
we'll they're post them in the source or the show notes. I also used Unsolved Mysteries, like the newest version.
They had Jack the Ripper on there?
Yeah, volume 4, episode 1.
Oh, cool.
And then a few other ones, but I'm not going to tell you because that'll give away the surprise ending that I have for you. So we are in the late 1800s. We're in Whitechapel district of London.
I can smell the streets probably smell like sewage.
It smells like shit.
Because people literally throw their shit on the street.
Yeah. And this is like kind of a, like, it's a impoverished area. So it's 2 miles east of central London. It's very poor. There are people living in poverty. Like, people are literally, like, starving on the streets. Like, it's bad. People have kids. They, like,
10 cents a 5 to 10 cents to stay at a little, like, boarding house sometimes. Yeah. So
it's, like, rat infested. Like, shit's not good.
No.
It's dark. It's gross. Cobblestone.
All bad, guys. All bad.
It's all bad. No one's happy. So, on August 31st, 1888, A policeman sees something lying on the ground in a gateway. And he's like, huh, what? And he goes to investigate. It is a woman's body. He sees that her throat has been cut. She has been stabbed multiple times. She's disemboweled.
Jesus Christ.
And she is right outside of like a building where people live. Like she is under a window.
So people probably.
Where people are sleeping.
Potentially saw her.
Potentially. Or maybe like they heard something.
Yeah.
No one heard shit. No one heard a thing.
Not even screaming?
Nope.
But I'm sure the stab wounds were in her back.
I'm not sure where the stab wounds were actually. But the woman was identified as 43-year-old Mary Ann Nichols.
So she was a very old woman.
She was on death's
bed. She was on.
Knock, knock, knocking on
heaven's door. Hi, hi.
Dead as
hi,
fuck. Hi, no, hi. I'm sorry. That was rude. She.
Well, I'm just saying. For those like, times. Back in the day.
For those times.
Yeah. 43, nowadays, 40, you're like you're basically like, 21 again.
You're basically living your best life.
You're fine.
But she went by Polly. So that's what I'm going to refer to her as now. Mary Ann Nichols, a.k.a. Polly.
Okay.
She hadn't been in Whitechapel very long. Oh, but, sad. But she was a struggling alcoholic. She basically was living to, like, make money to then buy alcohol. Like, she's not doing well.
That's so sad.
And
because that's nowadays some people, you know, so that's still a problem.
No, it's nowadays. Absolutely still a problem. And she had turned to sex work to sort of feed this addiction.
A lot of people had to, right. Unfortunately,
especially as a woman in this time.
You didn't like, have, there were no,
there were not a lot of options for you. So she was doing her best, but also struggling hard.
Yeah. Trying to do her best.
Yeah. On this particular night, Polly was kicked out of a lodging house. And like you said, it was one of those places where you could essentially pay for a bed for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And for this time, they called the ladies of the night unfortunates. And these unfortunate women would basically have to pay like 4 pennies for a bed for the night, and that's where they would stay, and it was kind of like
quickly too, so it wasn't like you just went in when you felt like it, like, so it was like, do I work and make some money, or do I like guarantee myself a spot?
Exactly. And so here's the kicker: the beds in these houses like weren't even beds, they were literally coffins lining the walls, because that was cheaper than like having beds, and also like then you don't have bed bugs, and
I mean,
you know,
as I mean,
it's fucked up. It's like a super fucked life. I'd probably like that
other than sleeping on the streets.
100%. Because at least you're like in a shelter.
But it's a coffin. That's so strange.
It's so creepy.
Yeah.
So on this particular night, she didn't have enough money to pay for a bed. So she's out on the streets. She's looking for a John. She's like, let's make those 4 pennies.
Yeah.
And at 2:30 a.m., she told the lodging manager, she's like, save me a bed. I'll be back. She's like, I got this. Like, give me a couple hours. I will be back. Save me a bed. And he's like, cool, got you, whatever. She was found dead at 3:45 a.m.
Oh, God.
An hour and 15 minutes later.
And he probably still saved her a bed and was like, what is she doing?
Like, where is she? So then a week later, September 8th, 47-year-old Annie Chapman was found at the yard of Hanbury Street, which is the east end. It's like 1 mile from where Polly was found. Like, okay. Pretty close proximity.
Yeah.
Annie sold trinkets for a living. She would just kind of like sell some little knickknacks here and there. But eventually that didn't really like give her enough money. So then she also
had to turn to became sex work.
Yeah. A sex worker. Annie's body had been massively mutilated. Her throat had been slit so deep it hit her spine.
So she was almost beheaded.
Almost, yeah. She had been disemboweled again. And this time the killer removed her womb and it was not found at the site. So like we're assuming.
Was it ever found?
Sir took it with him.
Yeah. And they never found it.
No.
That's creepy.
He spread out all of her personal items from her purse, like at her feet, like in a weird, like creepy way where it was like, it was set out. It was like, it wasn't just like strewn about. It was like he intentionally set each item.
Do you remember the song You're Beautiful by James Blunt?
Yeah.
Where he lines up his items in the music video and he's sitting on a thing of ice.
I'm not a music video person because it.
This is from the early 2000s.
I hate that song. And
he just
sounds
like
I would hate that music.
It's weird. Too. He just lines up his items. Hey guys, write in if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, because he's singing about how he was fucking high. But yeah, he was like lining up his items, and it was kind of weird. It's the strangest music video ever.
Sounds like a creep. That's why I don't like music videos, because they're so weird, and then they taint the song. Anyways,
have you ever seen the Telephone music video by Lady Gaga?
No.
It makes me love that. It's a weird music video, but I love it so much.
I'll have to look it up.
Sorry, that was a tangent, but you said he lined up her items, and all I thought was James Blunt doing that. I
thought of James Blunt being like, she's beautiful.
It's
James. Like, oh, God, he's so annoying.
I saw your face.
Ugh.
And it could.
I just want to like backhand them. Like, stop singing.
What's funny is he's a troll on Instagram because people
is
are like,
he?
Oh, but it's funny because people are like, what does it feel like being a failed musical artist? He's like, I still have a home, or like the stuff he
he's
says.
Like, I still have a shelter to live in. So
I think he was like, you work at Target, so things are going way better for
oh
me.
Oh my God.
Like, it's hilarious.
Okay,
I'm like,
well, good for him. I love. A petty queen.
Like when Tom from MySpace does that too.
Hilarious.
It's that.
Okay,
it's
where
on that
is
level.
Tom from MySpace? And like, good for Tom for MySpace for not being like a billionaire shithead like Zuckerberg.
He sold it for $100 million and then he just retired.
And lived his best life. Yes. As you should do.
Why do you want to be in politics?
God. Okay, anyways, sorry. I digress.
Sorry, I had to tell you about that. Anyways, he lined her stuff up.
Like fucking James Blunt. And so, okay. So Annie was seen in the very early morning hours talking to a man whose appearance was described from witnesses to look like a foreigner. Which, like, what the fuck does that
even
mean?
And I'm sorry, how old is she? Is she younger than Polly?
Annie is 47.
Okay, so she's older than Polly.
She's older. But, like, whatever. And people are like, also, like, he looked like a foreigner, but, like, we didn't even get the best look at him. Because, like, picture, like...
That's some racist-ass like, shit there.
Right, and it's also, like, a town full of fucking immigrants. So, like, what does
of
that
course,
mean?
Of course, everyone's...
Everyone's foreign.
A foreigner.
Like what? So it's like London, right? And it's like the 1800s. They don't have like electricity like lining the street. So it's like, I mean, maybe like here and there, but it's like, it's dark. It's like dark alleyways.
Yeah.
And people are wearing like dark clothing because no one has like some fucking neon clothes. Like you can't get a look at people's faces.
No.
Like this is like the
There's
poor
no
part of town.
No street lights. Like, maybe there is,
and
but
like,
they're not as good as streetlights are now.
Even if you had, like, some candles and shit, like, you're not seeing people's faces. Like, come on.
And I feel like people were so poor, it was kind of like, mind your own business.
Exactly. No, totally. That was kind of the vibe, is like, mind your fucking business and, like, do your thing and make your money and, like, whatever. Like, literally, one of the historians on Unsolved Mysteries was like, I think it was Unsolved Mysteries, that one of the historians said this, where he was like, the... Women of the night kind of knew like the darkest like alleyway points where it was like you want to make your money, right? So you don't want to be disrupted. So you don't want to be in a place where like people are just walking by. So you would like lead your John to a place where like, I know we're not going to get interrupted here.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and
it's kind of, it's taboo and it's still taboo
now. You're
leading
yourself to be killed in a way where it's like, people aren't going to ask questions. People aren't going to be looking there.
Yeah.
Which is so fucked up. But so anyways, people are like, he looks like a foreigner. It's like, okay, that's like giving
so
us
do you.
Nothing to go
so
off
So do
of.
Me. So
what does
so
that
do
even
me.
Mean? Like, So either way, people believe that these sightings were Jack the Ripper. And it, mind you, at this time, this was not the name of the killer. We did not know him as Jack the Ripper. There was
Jack the Ripper come like years later, like after this was just, like, so over. People. Yeah.
I'll get to the name. But, okay, so.
Strangled stabby man.
Around 5:30 a.m., a man who lived in the building next door to like the backyard where Annie was found, he told the police that he had gone down to use the bathroom, which was like on the ground level of his apartment house, whatever the fuck. And he heard someone cry out, no. And then he heard a loud thud against his fence. And he was like, I don't know, whatever.
Not my business.
Also, it was like, you couldn't just like call 911. You know, like that's not like a thing.
You didn't call anyone. You just blew a whistle outside and hoped a cop was nearby.
Yeah. And truly, if he had been able to see over that fence, he would have seen Annie getting murdered.
Yeah. But he didn't know that.
But yeah, he didn't know. So police at this point are like, what the fuck? Like, they're realizing this is probably the same killer from the first murder to this murder. They're like, these are Polly and Annie are seeming like it's probably the same guy. So they're combing the crime scene for clues and they find a freshly washed leather apron hanging in the corner of the yard on the fence. And they're like, oh my God, this is it. And they get excited because at the time, the sex worker population had been kind of like rumbling about this person called Leather Apron is what they called him.
What?
Which is like so creepy. They were like, there's this guy who's killing people. And again, like I said, this is before Jack the Ripper was Jack the Ripper. Yeah. So they're like, oh my God, Leather Apron is this killer guy. Now we see a fucking leather apron. Like, this is going to lead us to our killer.
Yeah.
It did not. I will just say that. They did bring into questioning a man named John Pizer, who was a cobbler in town. They were kind of looking at him because they were like, brother wears a leather apron for his job.
I mean, so I kind of get that they would go after, you know, just questioning
people someone. Who wear it leather aprons, yeah, that's obviously.
Logistically the best way to
exactly. go. Exactly. So they're zoning in on him and they're like, we're bringing you in. And he's like, hey guys, I like have a fucking rock solid alibi for the nights that both these women were murdered. And they were like,
lay it on us. Fine. Cobbler.
You're not dead. You're not the guy. You're not the guy.
You're not dead.
You're not dead. You're not the murderer. Fine. It's not you. So, again, now they're back at square one because they've got, like, fucking nothing. The leather apron ended up just being, like, some neighbor who was like, yeah, I have a leather apron and I washed it and I left it out. And they were like, fuck, okay. We got nothing.
Yeah.
We got nothing to go off of these two murders. So, needless to say, there were a whole bunch of suspects. And police were doing their best.
I'm sure, most of the men in the town.
Sure. Like, they're trying to track down people. They're trying to, like, figure out, like, who the fuck is mutilating women. Like, this is, like, you would think at the time, like, in these impoverished parts, like, maybe murder was, like, a huge thing. But it really wasn't. Like, this was, like, super not common. So people were freaking out. Like, they were terrified. And on September 27th, the Central News Agency received a letter written in red ink. This is the document that gives the murderer his infamous name, Jack the Ripper. So this letter is referred to as the Dear Boss letter. And it reads, and it's kind of like, there's some like grammatical errors, but whatever. Dear Boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores, and I shan't quit ripping them till I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and I want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with.
Blood?
Mm-hmm. But it went thick like glue, and I can't use it. Red ink fits enough, I hope. Ha ha. The next job I do shall clip the lady's ears off and send to the police officers just for jolly. Wouldn't you keep this letter back till I do a bit more work? Then gave it straight out. My knife so nice and sharp, I want to get to work right away.
No.
If I get a chance.
No.
Good luck. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper. Don't mind me giving me the trade name. P.S. Wasn't good enough to post this before I got all the red ink off my hands. Curse it. No luck yet. They say I'm a doctor now. Ha ha. Like, ew. So creepy.
Also, is that where Van Gogh got the idea to cut his ear off and send it to his girlfriend?
No, I think he had some pretty big mental problems.
Well, sure, but I was just like right when you said that, all I could think of was Van Gogh doing that.
Well, he wants to cut off the ears of his next victim.
Yeah, Van Gogh wanted to cut off his own ear. So.
Yeah. So police officers, pretty much they believed it was a total hoax because they weren't giving their investigation a lot of press. Like, they were being pretty quiet about how they were investigating things. And so,
but wouldn't that make you kind of question it more?
Right. So the media was like pretty frustrated because they're like, well, now we've got like nothing good to write about. But they thought it was like a journalist who wrote it and sent it to the police just so they could get like
stir up some drama.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could say that it worked because then the police released the letter to the public and then they were in like completely inundated with a whole bunch of like fake Jack the Ripper letters, which then they had to investigate and go off and follow up
on. So frustrating.
So like they didn't really do themselves any favors by releasing that letter.
No.
But
they created more work
for themselves. They created a lot of work for themselves, which they did do. So I will give them that. Like, good job, fucking 1800s policemen of London. Like, who would have known?
It's got to be a rough job. Especially not having the technology we have now.
Right. And so, okay. Then on September 30th, this is considered by historians to be the double event night.
October 30th?
September 30th.
September 30th. I was like, huh.
So at 1 a.m., a man was parking his pony and his cart, 1800s things, when he found a 45-year-old woman named Elizabeth Stride lying on the ground. Her neck was slit and blood was everywhere. Elizabeth was a nanny, a cleaner, and a sex worker who came to England in her 20s. But what's strange about this one is that she was not mutilated at all.
Yeah, like, that's what I was about to say. She wasn't disemboweled, so. Mm-mm.
Like, it was just the throat slit. No, she was fully dead, unfortunately. Okay. But historians think that the killer was disrupted by the dude who's parking his pony.
Yeah.
And this is why they think that the next victim, who up to this point was the most horrendously mutilated.
Just to make up for lost time.
Exactly. Like, he was like, shit, I didn't get, like, to steal her ovaries. Like, now I'm going to fuck some shit up. So, Catherine Eddowes was found at 1:45 a.m. by a policeman on patrol. So, they would have policemen that would just, like, kind of walk the streets and patrol.
Yeah.
He was completely shocked because he had walked by the same spot 15 minutes prior.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there. Like, there were no people there. Now there's a dead lady.
That's weird.
And Catherine was cut up really bad. She had V's, like the shape of a V, slit into her cheeks.
Like the Joker?
Yeah, just, I don't know. Like, okay. I'm not sure why he did V's, but he did V's into her cheeks, into her eyelids. Part of her earlobe was removed. The tip of her nose had been cut off, and the killer had removed her kidney and her uterus. Jesus Christ. Neither of these organs were found at the scene. Oh, so God. We're assuming he took them for whatever fucking reason. Despite all this crazy violence, no one heard a thing. Like, not one person was like, yeah, I heard a scream. Like, nothing.
Nothing.
And a portion of her apron had been cut off. And a few streets away, that same piece of apron that was missing was found. So some people believe that the killer used it to, like, wipe his hands off and wipe his knife off.
Yeah.
But, like, truly, no one knows why
it
was removed and then thrown about.
Sounds like it makes no sense.
Yeah. So 2 weeks after the double event on October 16th, George Lusk, who was the head of Whitechapel Vigilance Committee, which is basically like people who are like volunteers just like patrol the streets and they're kind of like, that's a suspicious thing. And they like tell the police about it.
Yeah.
So this dude who was the head of that, he received the infamous From Hell letter. Now, the letter read, at the top, it just is like titled From Hell. Like, okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay, emo. From Hell. Mr. Lusk, sir, I send you half the kidney I took from one woman and preserved it for you. The other piece I fried and ate. It was very nice.
Oh, so we're also a cannibal.
Mm-hmm. I may send you the bloody knife that took it out if you only wait a while longer. Catch me if you can, Mr. Lusk. So, based on this letter, he did send half of a kidney.
I hate it.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Why the fuck would you do that? It's horrifying.
Did he send the ear like you said he was going to?
No, just the half the kidney.
Okay.
So, obviously, we can't tell if, like, it's actually Catherine's kidney. It was the left kidney that had been removed from her.
There is no way to DNA
test it. At this point, they couldn't test it. So there's like, it is a left kidney, but like, where the fuck did it come from?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are like, this is genuine because he didn't sign his name. And then the other half of people are like, this is not genuine because like, it could be a medical student prank. You know, like they were inundated with fake Jack the Ripper letters before, and now people are like, okay, this is some asshole who was like, oh, I found a kidney, like a medical student, because they would have access to that kind of thing, and then wrote it in. So no one obviously knows for sure, because like, how would we know? But also like, hella fucking creepy. Who sends an organ to someone and then is like, P.S. I ate the other half? Like, that's so creepy.
No, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Like, this, I don't know. This is like before horror movies, you know? So like, for that time, can you imagine like how fucking terrifying that would be?
No.
Like, what the fuck?
No, thank you.
No, actually. Thank you. So in October of 1888, police are like, you guys, we're doing a whole ass search. They do a house-to-house search of the Whitechapel area where they're like, we got to find this motherfucker. Yeah. Like, this is out of hand. So they investigated like 1,000 people. But again, they don't have shit to go off of. They, at this point, they don't even have fingerprints to use.
Like, I know.
They've got nothing. Like, how are you going to solve this? They've got some eyewitness accounts of people being like, he looked like a foreigner. Like, what?
Like, what does
thank
that
you
even
for the
mean?
Help. Yeah. Like, so people were just losing their shit. Men would dress as women and roam the streets at night trying to like lure Jack the Ripper.
I do love that they did that.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, get it. Like, community. They're like, hey, like, come murder me. It didn't take. But they were really trying to figure out who this creep was. Like, it was like not only the police officers and the volunteers of the Whitechapel Vigilance Committee, but it was also just like random civilians just being like, let's fucking
let's get this guy together. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Men were out dressed as women. Women obviously still had to make their fucking money.
Yeah.
Like, they still had to, like, pay for a fucking bed to sleep on. And so they started carrying guns, scissors, knives, like, literally anything that they could think of to protect themselves. Because, like, who's, like, you have to be, like, realistic about it. Like, maybe I get this John and perhaps he's the guy, you know? Like, how am I going to...
He's targeting my colleagues,
basically. How am I going to defend myself?
Yeah.
So people are at just, like, an all-time high alert. The police monitoring, they really stepped that up too. So, like, everyone is just like, we gotta figure this out.
Yeah.
So, November 9th, the final and by far worst murder occurred. This is Mary Jane Kelly, who was in her 20s.
This is the most famous one.
She's different than the rest of the women.
Yeah.
Because in a couple ways. One, she's younger. But two, she actually rented a room in Whitechapel. Like, she had a space. She had a consistent living space.
Yeah.
And her landlord, Thomas Boyer, was on his way to collect the rent money from her on this particular day.
$700.
Right,
probably. No bathroom.
No bathroom.
Pee no outside.
Laundry. Yeah. Pee outside. Do your own laundry.
No pets.
No pets. Not even reptiles. Could you imagine a reptile in the London? Anyways.
Oh, God.
He would need a sweater.
Oh, 100%.
So, landlord knocked on her door, and he's like, weird. Why is she not answering? She's usually, like, home. Whatever. Cool, cool, cool. He's like, let me just go peek in her window, which...
That would scare me.
Problematic, but fine. Yeah. So, he peeks in the side window, and he discovers nightmare fuel. Like, this probably stayed with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Mary Jane's entire face was cut off. Her breasts were removed and laying next to her on the bed. And her innards were just
strewn about.
So he freaked out. He goes to the police. And upon further examination, the killer had cut out her heart, and that was missing.
And her uterus?
Not her uterus.
Shocking.
Weird. Like, what a fucking creep, though. So, police had this very well-known doctor named Dr. Thomas Bond, who they were like, hey, we're going to need you to come in here and do...
Doctor things.
Post-mortem... autopsy. And he did it, like, in her room. They didn't, like, transport the body elsewhere. He was, like, on site. And he is very famous for working for a ton of crime scenes around the country. And he was one of the pioneer doctors who was actually, like, interested in learning about a killer's psyche. So he's, like...
The original Mindhunter.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And from what he could tell, when he does the post-mortem autopsy, Mary Jane had been asleep at the time of her attack. Oh, so, that, like,
sucks.
At least she, like, I don't know, didn't see it coming, which is, like, horrible, but also, like,
yeah.
At least she wasn't, like, scared. He even wrote up a whole report examining what he believed was his, like, this is what the killer is like. Like, this is... Yeah. What this creepo is. And so he stated that Jack the Ripper was a master of the surprise attack, obviously, because he would, like, strangle his victims so quickly that they couldn't even scream. And he would, like, either bring them to unconsciousness or, like, fully, like, kill them.
Yeah.
And then he'd lower them down, and then he would, like, slit their throat, get the job for real done, and then he would start to mutilate them.
Yeah.
But... because he was so quick about it, like, he was thinking this guy probably knows anatomy or is, like, very educated in some kind of way. And police were also kind of thinking that, too. They're like, this probably is, like, a butcher, maybe a doctor, even a midwife. Like, it's not a woman, let's be real. But whatever. And so they're like... he would have to remove the organs with a quickness and also a precision because it's dark. So we had to kind of like know what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Bond also said that there was no motive other than to mutilate. Well, no and shit. He believed that it was to be for a sexual thrill. So this is like one of the first times in like history where people are like, but why though? Like, what's happening in this person's mind, you know? Like
sexual gratification.
Exactly. And so he said that the killer was most likely a loner. And I'm going to paraphrase, a weirdo. Like, he's just a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. I mean, like,
obviously.
No shit.
And he would be often quite not right in the mind. Like, yeah, duh. He's mutilating people.
Like, I don't mutilate people, and I think I'm weird, so I can't even imagine.
He was probably quiet and well-respected, but someone who kind of, like, kept to themselves and most likely was well-off enough to have a place where he lived, like, a place that he could go and, like, clean himself up after he attacked these poor women. And he potentially even, like, lived with his family, and his family was like, he's a weirdo, but, like, we don't want to say anything.
We love him.
He's weird, but we love him. Like, okay. So he could easily blend into the population. Like, no one would be like, that guy. Like, a lot of people were like, you know, you think about like a serial killer at this time and you're, and that's not even like a phrase that was a thing, but like you think of someone who's a maniac and they're like frothing at the mouth and they probably have like red demon eyes and they're like, not right. Like, you would think they would stick out from the crowd, but it's
just another person in the crowd.
It's completely the opposite. This man knew how to blend in. And so a bunch of time passed and the killings just stopped. And so then people are like, well, what the fuck happened? Like, did he leave? Was he like a sailor? Was he only in port for like a couple months and now he's traveling the world? Like, which would be like the perfect, like, not saying like there's a perfect serial killer.
It makes
sense.
But like,
it would be like ideal to be like, well, especially at this time, you just like fuck off and like go around the world. And then there was a theory that the killings had stopped because he ended up in an insane asylum. So people were like, he's crazy. What? I mean, I don't know. So police are just kind of, they've got all these theories. They've got nothing to really go off of. And at one point they considered that since the murders had stopped, perhaps the killer had died. And perhaps...
I mean, that's what I always
assumed.
He felt
as though, like, they were getting closer to him. They weren't. And committed suicide.
But he doesn't know that, so.
Exactly. And so they started looking into all the people who had killed themselves in town. And they're like, well, what's their backstory? Like, maybe it's this person. Maybe, perhaps it's him. And so that brings us to a famous suspect named Montague. What a weird name. Montague John Druitt.
Okay.
He was a barrister, which is like basically like a lawyer, in South London. And he was also a teacher. In November of 1888, he was found floating in the Thames. An apparent suicide. They were like, let's look into it. Montague's own brother said that he wasn't doing well mentally and thought that he could definitely be the killer.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously he's not doing well mentally. He fucking killed himself. Like, duh, hello.
That's not a question.
He's not doing great.
No.
Like, clearly. But as they investigated, there was nothing that tied Montague to the killings. He seemed to have been elsewhere when they occurred. So, like... basically, the suspicion, it just, like, didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it died out.
Then we've got suspect Dr. Francis Tumblety.
Huh?
What a stupid name. He was a curious American man who came to Whitechapel. His Wikipedia literally is like, he's a quack. He's just a quack. Like, he's...
I mean...
not a good
dude. The dream.
Yeah. And... he came to Whitechapel just to see if he could figure out who Jack the Ripper was. But somehow, like, I'm not sure the details, he ended up getting himself arrested with police believing that he was the killer.
I mean, if you're that interested, I kind of...
But a lot of people did that. Like, it's the 1800s. You know, like, they don't have TV.
Looky Loos, you've told me.
Yeah. Looky Loos. And so he got arrested. He got out on bail. He skipped town. He went back to New York. Of course, there was no evidence linking him to the victims. Police are back at square one. Now, here's a juicy theory. It's like a good gossipy one.
Okay. I love
gossip. So this theory is that the victims were actually silenced and picked out to be murdered for a very specific reason by Queen Victoria herself. So the theory goes that Queen Victoria's grandson, Prince Albert Victor, he had an affair with a sex worker and she ended up getting pregnant. Whoops.
Yikes.
So she had a baby girl named Alice, but obviously it's like out of wedlock and like super secret because like she's a sex worker.
You don't do that.
No, you can't do that as royalty. So Alice had a nanny who was Mary Jane Kelly. That was the last victim.
Oh, shit.
Mary Jane Kelly had four friends. Polly Nichols.
Brag about it.
Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, and Catherine Eddowes.
Oh.
All the victims.
Yep. That's weird.
These ladies were like, hey, we know about this fucking, like, child who was birthed out of wedlock and her daddy is Prince Albert. And so they were like, we're going to blackmail the government.
That makes sense.
I mean, yeah. They're like, let's get some money out of this. But then the queen got wind of this potential blackmail scheme and sent out her royal doctor, Sir William Gull. I don't know why you would send a doctor to do this, but whatever. To kill the ladies so that the secret would never get out.
Well, but you said it was somebody who had medical knowledge. Exactly. So it's not totally.
So it could like maybe match up. However, dude had a stroke in 1887, which was a year before the killings happened. And this made him like physically incapable of doing any of this. Also, there's no documentation in police records of him ever actually being a suspect. There's like some movies about it and like,
yeah,
it's a good theory.
I mean, it makes sense.
It's some good tea, but it didn't check out.
Yeah.
Okay. So the final famous suspect is Aaron Kosminski. So he was a Polish Jew who immigrated to Whitechapel with his brother in 1881. He earned a living as a barber. He also had schizophrenia and was put into a mental asylum. Although it wasn't until 3 years after Mary Jane Kelly's murder. So, like, that piece is a little weird.
Yeah.
Aaron Kosminski remained in that mental asylum until the time of his death in 1919.
Dang, that was when America was going through it.
Aren't we still? So,
well, yes, that's when we started going through it.
And we're still going through it in a different sort of, not that different way.
Imagine house Anyways, prices then.
So I am here to tell you that 137 years later, historian Russell Edwards has come forth claiming that he has DNA evidence that is 100% match to Aaron Kosminski that is linking him to the murder of Catherine Eddowes.
Okay, growing up, I heard that the DNA that they did have for Jack the Ripper was women's DNA.
So, I'm here to tell you, historian Russell Edwards, he told the Today Show Australia that he purchased a bloodstained shawl that was supposedly belonging to the victim of Catherine Eddowes and was found at the crime scene. So he purchased this shawl. He was like, ooh, history things, in like 2007. Now, this is the shawl that was found to have two DNA samples on it. So obviously, we're going to be like, the victims and the killers. Duh.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, let's fucking find out who these people are. So he got in contact with Catherine Eddowes' descendants and asked them to test the DNA, like to give a sample of their DNA so that he could then compare it to the shawl.
Yeah.
Check. We got a match. Like, clearly, duh. It's her shawl.
Yeah.
There's going to be her match on there. Now, so that second sample of DNA, he's like, this is the killer. Let's fucking do this. So he tracked down Aaron Kosminski's oldest brother's great-great-great-granddaughter and asked her to provide a sample. And she was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So this brings us to the breaking news that the DNA was a match. According to the Daily Mail, Edwards has hired a legal team to help gain an inquest after he found the 100% DNA match.
Yeah.
Descendants of both Eddowes and Kosminski have backed this move. They're like, yeah, let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
And as he told Today, Edwards and his team have sent a letter to the Attorney General requesting permission to go to Britain's High Court for a further inquest. The hope is that Kosminski can be legally tied to the murder. Quote, the name Jack the Ripper has become sensationalized. It has gone down in history as this famous character, Karen Miller, the great, great, great granddaughter of Eddowes, told the Mail. What about the real name of the person who did this? Having the real person legally named in court, which can consider all the evidence, would be a form of justice for the victims. We have got the proof. Now we need this inquest to legally name the killer.
Yay!
So that's where we are. We're waiting for that to just kind of like be a legalized thing.
Yeah.
But like,
it was solved.
It was solved. We know who Jack the Ripper is
now. I love that. That's amazing.
It's amazing. And so cool.
Good work. That was a good story. Good
job, DNA. You did it.
DNA wins again.
Who knew that science could be so reliable?
Well, we'll post pictures as many as we can.
Yeah, there's like sketches of all the victims. And then, I mean, obviously, I don't think there's really like a sketch of Aaron Kosminski other than like,
I'll see what I can find.
There's kind of like a guy in like a cape and like a top hat.
I'll figure out something.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll post pictures on our Instagram. That's going to be Mysterious Movements Pod just on Instagram.
Yeah. And if you have any stories or ideas or suggestions, or you want to tell us about like your haunted ass house, let us know. Yeah. We would love to hear a ghost story.
We'll send friendship bracelets.
We will send friendship bracelets to anyone. Unless
we get so many that we just can't even handle it, but
even then, we'll get it done.
We'll see what we can do.
Send us an email at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
And we are also on TikTok and Facebook, so you can find us there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also just Mysterious Mavens Pod.
Yeah.
So.
Find us there. Yay, Jack the Ripper has been solved. But I feel like it's gotten lost amidst all the important world news.
Because, like, what are they going to do? They can't arrest anyone. But, yeah, go. Also, please give us a rating, subscribe. That helps us out immensely. 5-star preferred. But, you know, if you feel like
do what feels right in your heart.
Yeah, and that's right. So do that.
And that's the right answer. Yeah, until next time.
Self-care for yourselves.
Self-care for yourselves.